Good evening, everyone. Pastor Campbell here. It's been a few days since I've given you one of the fruits of the Spirit here, or discussed one. Thought I'd jump on real quick. I don't really expect very many to be on here. Well, who knows? You never know. There might be quite a few people on this evening. But tonight we're talking about long-suffering. I'd like to make this quick so that you don't have to suffer long. So long-suffering is, I like to break down words a lot to help understand, help me understand them and help other people understand them as well. And long-suffering is obviously broken down into long and suffering. And the word suffer used in the Bible is generally speaking, the word suffer used in the Bible isn't always talking about pain and torment and agony and difficulty and all that. In fact, it's often used just to say, allow this. And so, for example, when Jesus came to John the Baptist, he said, John the Baptist says to Jesus, he said, I need to be baptized of you, and you're coming to me to be baptized. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so for now. In fact, and so therefore he says, just allow this to take place. Suffer this to happen. When the children began to come to Jesus and his disciples were saying, oh, you know, hold off here. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me. In other words, he says to allow them to come to me. Well, more often, though, when we talk about long-suffering, it's allowing something to take place for a long period of time, allowing it to take place longer than we might desire for it to take place. And so there's a few texts that I'd like to point out. One, in fact, is the text that I have here for us tonight is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. It says, let's back up to verse 8. He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You see, the Bible gives us an example. And by the way, if you go back to Exodus chapter 34 there, and the Lord says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness. We have this example that God gives us of suffering long. You see, in fact, God has suffered the sin of man. God has suffered our wickedness. He suffered our the pain of our rejection. Ever since the beginning, ever since the Garden of Eden, he suffered for around 6,000 years. And I would say that that is long suffering. So as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we recognize that the long suffering aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, of course, comes from God. We can't produce that on our own. Sometimes we can learn patience, which is very similar to long suffering. In fact, in James chapter 1, it talks about patience having her perfect work. It says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And that's very similar there, because as you're tried, you will sometimes suffer, and that suffering that takes place, or you allowing this trial to take place and you enduring this temptation is an opportunity for you to suffer long or practice long suffering. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, again, this is God working in you. He's working in us to deal with these things. I wrote down a few things here concerning long-suffering. Oftentimes, we are striving against temptation. We have sometimes our own difficulty. Sometimes we have to suffer long with ourselves and suffer long with our own weaknesses and our own inabilities. Sometimes we have to just press through and deal with the difficulties of life that we pose to ourselves. I know some people have had injuries, and I personally have a nerve impingement in my abdomen, and sometimes it hurts, and I just have to suffer through it. And so we deal with it and we move on. But on a spiritual level, long suffering requires the Spirit of God working in you. It requires you to be filled with the Spirit. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. And sometimes we'll go through trials. Sometimes it's because of others. And sometimes people annoy us. Shouldn't be that way. Really, we shouldn't have annoyances, because if we love people, the first fruit of the Spirit, then they don't annoy us because we don't have an expectation to be fulfilled in ourselves, but rather to fulfill them and the grace of God in their lives. Sometimes we have to suffer long through pain. Sometimes we have to suffer long when it comes to... I can think of the best example that I think of when it comes to long-suffering, and Brother Travis and I kind of laugh about this every time I bring it up, but working on cars is a wonderful... Working on vehicles, but you know, working on anything, working on vehicles, working on houses, working on people, working on whatever, often requires us to suffer long. It often requires us to deal with expectations that aren't met. Requires, you know, when you go to change the brakes on a car, and you got to take, sometimes you have to take the caliper off, and you'll have a bolt that's rusted, and you didn't expect that. You expected, oh, I can just take this bolt off and take it out, and I can take the caliper off and sit it over here, and then I can take the pads off, and I can put the new pads on, compress the caliper down, put the thing back together, and put the bolt back on, and we're done. We'll put the wheels on, and we're good to go. But all too often, it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes God chooses that we get to suffer long when it comes to doing simple things. Sometimes a simple job that should take 5 to 10 minutes sometimes takes longer, and we're tested, we're tried. And then God kicks in with His Spirit. If we're filled with the Spirit, of course, we take it with joy, and we just work through it. Another passage for, I don't know, some preachers, I've got a lot of preacher friends on Facebook. Preachers, you know, I was at a preacher's meeting this last Saturday, and God pointed something out to me that I've heard before, but it just rang home with me, and it was something that I needed to hear again and something to be reminded of. You know, when Brother Paul was giving a message to Timothy here, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And he goes on, but we often just say, hey, preach the word, right? And we'll tell preachers at preachers' meetings, or we'll tell preachers, you know, young preacher boys that are coming up and they've been called to preach, they're ready to preach the word. We say, hey, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. We say, hey, be ready to preach the word. And then we go into reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And then we say, with all long-suffering doctrine. And then we'll major on the doctrine part. But what the Lord just threw in my face that day, last Saturday, was long-suffering. He says to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. We're going to mention, when we talk about gentleness, we're going to talk about the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. And then it says... apt to teach, patient, all of that. You see, sometimes when we preach to people, even just preaching the gospel, we expect to see results. We expect to see people's lives changed. We expect to see, we have our expectations. You know, some have higher expectations, some have lower expectations, but we're looking for something. We're looking to see something in their lives. And I'm telling you, I have that same exact thing, brothers. I have the expectation to see lives change, to see things happen, to see people grow, just keep going and going. But I have a command here that when I preach the word, that I do it with long suffering. And I believe there's a reason for this. Of course, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So I recognize that there are many challenges and there are many things going on in people's lives. And I expect that the Spirit of God is working in their lives. And so I just have to wait on the Lord and expect Him to do the work. And I can't put an expectation on someone that I can't reach, that I can't meet. I can't put an expectation on someone that I'm not willing to fulfill. And then, even if I am willing to fulfill it, it doesn't mean that they're able to. It doesn't mean that I'm able to. And so when we preach the word, we do so with all long-suffering. And we wait to see these things applied. Sometimes it can be real easy for a man to get up and preach and be real clear and concise. In fact, one of the members at our church got back with me, Sunday afternoon on something I preached in Sunday school. He said, "I love what you preached. I learned a whole lot." And in fact, something I said Sunday night, he said the same thing. He said, "Man, you know, there's so much good stuff here. I wonder how many people are going to apply it." And you know, I actually think the exact same thing every time I preach. Who's going to take this and allow it to do something in their life? Who's going to take this truth and allow God to use it to make a difference in their life? But you know, when I'm wondering that, and I pray and I say, "God, the message that you give me, the preaching that you have me bring across, use it for your glory, change lives with it, use it to fulfill what it is there to fulfill, to go out, to change a life, to bring glory to you." And then I wait. And I practice this all long suffering. Sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes we hope to see, you know, when we preach about something, and like I do on Sunday morning, I just go through the Bible. I go through chapters of the Bible. I'm not necessarily looking for a certain topic to give to deal with this issue or that issue. I do preach topically as well, but generally speaking, I'm teaching either doctrine, or I'm going through a study of doctrine, or I'm going through a book of the Bible, and I'm just dealing with what's there at that time. But as you do that, you deal with the topics and you hit on those things and you deal with those things. And then I come across something, I'm like, "Oh, this will be really good for our church. You know, it'd be good for so-and-so and for so-and-so. It'd be good for me." And then, you know, and I preach it and then I wait and I'm like, "Okay, let's see who's going to apply this. How's it going to be applied? How's it going to work?" But I've got to be patient. I've got to be long-suffering as I do so. I know I spent a lot of time talking about applying messages to our lives and so forth, and a preacher waiting to see that applied. But long suffering applies in many areas. You see, God suffers our wickedness long, as He says it, that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, the long-suffering of God is delaying the justice of God because of the love of God. But the day will come when his justice will come because of his holiness. And either we will be ready because we wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ because of what he did for us on Calvary, or we won't be ready and we'll have to pay the justice ourselves. I hope this short time discussing long suffering has not been something that you've had to suffer long through, but rather something that you may be able to take and use for God's glory. And I'll wait to see how it affects your life.